品鉴人才培训工程教学系列丛书英语高级口译资格证书实考试卷汇编二，上海市外语口译资格证书考试委员会编
第三和
Part B Listening and Translation 1. Sentence Translation Directions. In this part of the test, you will hear 5 English sentences. You will hear the sentences only once. After you have heard each sentence, translate it into Chinese and write your version in the corresponding space in your answer booklet. Now let's begin Part B with sentence translation.
Sentence number 1. People over the age of 16 can take courses in continuing and further education colleges. Much continuing and further education is work-related and vocational.
Sentence number 2. There are so many different approaches to the teaching of art, but I think that the main thing is to encourage the imagination of each child and allow them to express themselves as freely as possible.
Sentence number 3. A further drop in sales was sustained over the following months, but after that, the situation picked up, and the sales increased quite sharply.
Sentence number 4. I'm going to talk about the road accident figures in the UK. The total number of accidents fluctuated quite a lot during the period 1992 to 2000.
Sentence number 5. We're the British subsidiary of an Italian company, and we're thinking of developing some new lines for Britain, such as drinks for the British market.
2. Passage translation. Directions. In this part of the test, you will hear 2 English passages. You will hear the passages only once. After you have heard each passage, translate it into Chinese and write your version in the corresponding space in your answer booklet. You may take notes while you are listening. Now let's begin passage translation with the first passage.
Passage 1. Between 1970 and 1990, the decline of foreign population was accompanied by a sharp increase in the urban population. In some years, more than 1 million men and women left the farms to seek better opportunities in the nation's growing urban areas. On the other extreme, the migration out of the older cities into the suburbs was mostly led by young married couples as they were seeking better living conditions for raising their families. As a result, huge suburban housing developments were springing up almost overnight.
Passage 2. The tobacco industry has today hit back at the Department of Health about cigarette advertising. They've issued a report arguing that cigarette advertisements do not encourage people to smoke more, and that they only encourage people to buy a specific kind of cigarette. The report is based on data collected from more than 90 countries around the world. It conflicts with figures issued by the Department of Health last month, which suggested that banning advertisements would result in a drop in cigarette consumption. A spokesperson for the tobacco industry said, "If a product is legally available, then it should be legal to advertise it."
上海市高级口译资格证书第二阶段考试 A 卷
Interpretation Section Part A Directions. In this part of the test, you will hear 2 passages in English. After you have heard each paragraph, interpret it into Chinese. Start interpreting at the signal and stop it at the signal. You may take notes while you are listening. Remember, you will hear the passages only once. Now let's begin Part A with the first passage.
Passage 1. It's my great honor to participate in this year's symposium on information and technology. We are at the start of a digital revolution, and each and every one of us will be affected. This revolution is taking place in the system of information forwarding and transmission all over the world. Information communication and information storage tend in this direction towards multimedia systems, to say the least. The new century will bring many changes. In our business, it will mean that the tools we use to do our work will change. Our computers and other means of information transmission will change. The traditional means of communication that people use to obtain information will change. With digital technology, we have in our hands the ability to create a better world.
Passage 2. As the world is in transition, so the English language is taking new forms. This, of course, has always been true. English has changed substantially in the 1500 years of its use, reflecting patterns of contact with other languages and the changing communication needs of people and their societies. But in many parts of the world, as English has become part of social life, it acquires a momentum and vitality of its own. The English language has been developing in ways which inevitably reflect local culture and languages. And English spoken in those countries or regions has become increasingly different from the kind of English spoken in Britain or North America. Part B. Directions. In this part of the test, you will hear two passages in Chinese. After you have heard each paragraph, interpret it into English. Start interpreting at the signal and stop it at the signal. You may take notes while you're listening. Remember, you will hear the passages only once. Now let's begin Part B with the first passage. Passage 1.
计划生育和环境保护是我国的基本国策，也是提高人民生活质量的重要条件。我国人口众多，自然资源相对不足，经济发展与资源和环境的矛盾日益突出。因此，我们要加强优生优育工作，提高人口素质。我们应该合理开发并且综合利用自然资源，正确处理我国经济发展与人口增长、资源开发和环境保护的关系。我们要努力保护和改善生态环境，使经济发展既满足当代人的需要，又造福子孙后代。
Passage 2.
随着改革开放的不断深入，上海城市发生了日新月异的变化，一个现代化国际大都市展现在世人眼前。上海这座美丽的城市吸引了不少外国友人，他们在这座具有东方神秘色彩和个性的城市里生活、工作和学习。他们在这片土地上领略了上海独特的风土人情，目睹了上海的巨变奇端，东西方文化也在此交流融合，上海市民和外国友人由此更进一步的互相了解，增进友谊。上海更以其独特的魅力昂首走向未来。
上海市高级口译资格证书第二阶段考试B卷。
Interpretation Section Part A Directions. In this part of the test, you will hear two passages in English. After you have heard each paragraph, interpret it into Chinese. Start interpreting at the signal and stop it at the signal. You may take notes while you are listening. Remember, you will hear the passages only once. Now let's begin Part A with the first passage.
Passage 1. The British people deeply admire China for its thousands of years of contributions to culture and religion, to philosophy and the arts, to science and technology. New China is at a moment in history when your glorious past is matched by your present sweeping change, that is, the change from a planned economic system to a market economy.Your social and economic change has been even more remarkable. Everything I know about the intelligence, the creativity and hard-working spirit of the Chinese people, and everything I have heard these last few days, gives me confidence that you will succeed. We British want China to be successful, secure and open. Let us work together for a more peaceful and prosperous world.
Passage 2.The position of the English language in the world today is rising, owing to Britain's colonial expansion and the more recent activity of America. Any change in the role of America in the world is likely to have an impact on the use and attractiveness of the English language. especially among those for whom English is not a first language. However, the economic dominance of the United States is expected to decline as the fast-growing economies in Asia have overtaken it in size and in quantity. The question remains whether English has become so dominant in the world that such a decline in the influence of the U.S. would not harm the present position of the English language. Part B. Directions. In this part of the test, you will hear two passages in Chinese. After you have heard each paragraph, interpret it into English. Start interpreting at the signal and stop it at the signal. You may take notes while you're listening. Remember, you will hear the passages only once. Now let's begin Part B with the first passage. Passage 1.
站在上海的外滩眺望浦东, 只见到处都是气魄非凡的摩天大楼, 但是浦东并非仅仅是拥有高楼大厦, 在浦东更令人振奋的是欣欣向荣的工业区, 如张江高科技园区, 浦东新区的工业产值高达整个上海的四分之一。 在短短几年里, 许多世界一流的跨国公司纷纷到浦东落户, 这是全球范围内市场竞争的延伸。 跨国公司看重的是浦东在其全球战略中的地域优势, 良好的投资环境和发展前景。 他们希望在这一块黄金宝地上大展宏图。
Passage 2.
众所周知, 北京是世界文化名城, 有3000多年的历史, 有着众多的名胜古迹和丰富的文化底蕴。 北京保存着世界上最完整的宫殿群, 故宫, 以及被称为世界七大奇迹之一的长城。 北京同时又是一座拥有近百所高等学府、科学教育事业发达, 拥有现代化通讯、交通、饭店和其他服务设施的国际化大都市。 此外,北京现有5750个体育场所, 其中包括23个设施完备的大型公共体育场馆。
事件四, 上海市英语高级口译资格证书第一阶段考试。
Section 1, Listening Test. Part A, Spot Dictation. Directions. In this part of the test, you will hear a passage and read the same passage with blanks in it. Fill in each of the blanks with the word or words you have heard on the tape. Write your answer in the corresponding space in your answer booklet. Remember, you will hear the passage only once. Now let's begin Part A with Spot Dictation.
The parents set the rules and the children obey, right? Wrong. In a growing number of North American families, adults have let their children take over. Parents want to be nurturing love and make their small children happy, but many have become confused about the best way to achieve this, explains a noted psychologist. Large numbers of parents are being controlled by their child to the point that entire families end up organizing themselves around a small child's emotions. The problem is that many fathers and mothers try to be a friend to their children. However, parenting is not a popularity contest. Challenging authority is a normal part of child development and is strongest between the ages of 4 and 6. Setting rules and enforcing them teaches the child that he or she is equal in value but not equal in authority. Then a child feels safe and secure and can be a kid again. Believe it or not, it's frightening for a child to realize they are in charge of a situation. In upside-down families, where parents back down from the rules they set, children become very insecure, anxious, and out of control. They don't trust their parents to protect them. In order to avoid this situation and keep control, parents should act in accordance with the following tips. First, be a leader. Parents cannot guide a child and seek his or her approval of their decision at the same time. Don't say, "It's time for bed, okay?" Instead, say, It's time for bed, kids. Second, don't make rules quickly and then change them. It's very important to be consistent. Once you make a rule, stick to it. Third, pay less attention to your children when their behavior is bad and more when it is good. Do not reward bad behavior by giving extra attention to it. Instead, save your attention for when the child acts properly. Finally, don't allow your kids to call you by your first name. This removes the authority figure in a child's life. Children need parents, not another friend.
Part B, Listening Comprehension. Directions. In this part of the test, there will be some short talks and conversations. After each one, you will be asked some questions. The talks, conversations, and questions will be spoken only once. Now, listen carefully and choose the right answer to each question you have heard, and write the letter of the answer you have chosen in the corresponding space in your answer booklet. Questions 1 to 5 are based on the following conversation. James Jarvie.
James, this is Catherine. I'm phoning about the autumn catalogue.
Have you done the costings?
Yes, I've got two estimates, one for printing in Hong Kong and one for printing in Europe.
Yes.
I've calculated on the basis of 368 pages, the same as last year.
Yes, that's right. How do they compare?
Europe's much more expensive. The printing costs are far lower in Hong Kong.
Yes, they say Europe has the highest prices. But what about freight?
Well, that's more from Hong Kong, of course. It's only £1,000 from Europe, but it's £3,500 from Hong Kong. On the other hand, that's only a small part of the bill.
And delivery? If we order next week, when will they get here?
Europe's quicker, obviously, just 2 weeks. It takes 6 from Hong Kong.
But even if it takes 6 weeks, we'll still be in time for the September mailing.
Exactly. Of course, there's another factor.
What's that?
The exchange rate. I've used a rate of £1 to 11 Hong Kong dollars.
Then we ought to buy dollars now in case the rate changes.
I can't do that until I've got the go-ahead from head office.
I'm going there this afternoon. You could give me the figures and I'll have a word with finance when I see them.
Okay. In Hong Kong, the total production costs work out at £2.51 a copy. Got that?
Uh-huh.
And they're £2.70 a copy in Europe.
Europe's much dearer, isn't it?
Yes, unless the Hong Kong dollar rises dramatically in the next few days.
Don't worry. I'll tell them we need a quick decision.
Thanks, James.
Question number one. What is the woman telephoning about?
Question number two. How many pages were there in last year's catalogue?
Question number three. What is the price estimate for each copy of the catalogue printed in Hong Kong?
Question number four. According to the woman, what is the other factor in making the decision as to where to print the catalogue?
Question number five. What do they decide at the end of the telephone conversation? Questions 6 to 10 are based on the following news. Budapest. NATO foreign ministers yesterday decided not to back a US missile defense plan, but agreed to continue consultations with Washington on the issue. The final statement by the Council of NATO Foreign Ministers, the decision-making body of the Western Military Alliance, said the NATO allies welcomed consultations initiated by U.S. President George W. Bush on the American Strategic Review, including missile defense. Although U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell hoped to persuade skeptical European allies to be more supportive of the U.S. missile defense plan, the U.S. approach met with resistance from France and Germany at the meeting of the Council of NATO Foreign Ministers in Budapest, capital of Hungary. Tokyo. Japanese Prime Minister Junichiro Koizumi will have his first meeting with U.S. President George W. Bush on June the 30th, Chief Government Spokesman Yasuo Fukuda said yesterday. The two leaders, who spoke by telephone shortly after Koizumi took office on April the 26th, will meet at the presidential retreat of Camp David, just outside Washington, D.C. They will discuss a wide range of issues concerning the relationship between Japan and the United States, Fukuda said. Koizumi is expected to brief Bush on his plans for the structural reform needed to bolster Japan's struggling economy. Brussels. Eurozone inflation is falling, with a rate of less than 2% foreseeable next year, European Central Bank President Wim Duisenberg said on Monday. Inflation should stabilize at around 2.5% this year from its current 12-month level of 2.9%, he told the European Parliament's Economic and Monetary Affairs Committee. The inflation rate should dip below 2% in the year 2002, he added. Duisenberg said he expected economic growth in the Eurozone of about 2.5% this year, after a slowdown in global growth forced the ECB to revise down its guesstimates. The comments came against the backdrop of confusion in the markets after the European Central Bank's decision to cut rates on May the 10th from 4.75% to 4.5%. England. Britain's worst race riots for years have brought into the open the determination of Asian and black youths to challenge a mainly white society in which their immigrant parents were simply happy to find a place to live. The weekend violence which burst onto the British political agenda in the middle of an election campaign typifies the struggle for identity many of the youths in immigrant communities endure in modern Britain. Police in this run-down northern English town have pinned immediate blame for Saturday's riots on outside influences, namely ultra-right-wing English nationalists and white power supremacists, stirring up trouble ahead of the June 7th general election. But community leaders say tension has been brewing for years inside ethnic Pakistani, Bangladeshi and Kashmiri groups, as well as among blacks from Africa and the Caribbean, all of them from nations which were once colonies of the British Empire. Seoul. A South Korean military helicopter crashed onto a bridge in Seoul yesterday, apparently killing all three people aboard. A police spokesman said the rotors of the CH-47 got caught in support wires while it hovered above during decoration work on the Olympic Bridge, built to commemorate the 1988 Olympic Games. "We have recovered one body from the Han River below," said the spokesman. "Given the time that has passed since the accident, there are no chances of survival for the other two crew." No vehicles on the bridge were involved in the accident, which occurred about 1 hour before the afternoon rush hour, because the police had cleared the area for the work.
Question number 6. What did the NATO foreign ministers decide at the meeting yesterday?
Question number 7. What is the Japanese Prime Minister expected to talk about during his first meeting with the US President?
Question number 8. According to the President of the European Central Bank, what might be the inflation rate in the Eurozone for the year 2002?
Question number 9. Which of the following statements is true about the recent race riots in England?
Question number 10. According to the news, what did a South Korean military helicopter crash onto?
Questions 11 to 15 are based on the following interview. I could put it in one sentence because the Today program, I always say, is the place to drop a word in the ear of the nation. It is the only national news and current affairs program on radio in the morning. There are those on television, but they seem to be rather for the under fives instead of for adults. Today is the one that everyone who has a decision to take listens to. Mr. Blair listens to it. Prince Charles listens to it. Most leaders of industry, most trade union leaders, most headmasters, most schoolteachers for that matter. About 5 million people in all.
And what is your role in the program? What do you do in the program?
Well, I'm one of the four presenters of the program. We have two presenters on duty every morning, and the program is on 6 days a week. The presenter's function is, first of all, to introduce the recorded items that the reporters have done overnight or the day before, and then to do all the live interviews.
And what about interviewing? Because you interview a number of politicians and, well, the Prime Minister, Chancellor of the Exchequer, that kind of thing. Is that an easy thing to do? And how difficult is it when you're interviewing people that you don't particularly agree with or who get difficult with you during an interview?
Oh, that's not the problem at all. Interviewing politicians is always very entertaining because they always have something to say and they come in determined to say it. Now, that seems to me the way the game goes. The job of the interviewer is to make sure, first of all, that they say what they intended to say. And then, if what they've said appears to be in conflict with the known evidence, and I mean known evidence, I don't mean a bit of gossip or something, you know, that you just happen to have heard, but what you might call the published evidence, you then say, well, wait a minute, how do you reconcile what you've just said with what we all know? and then they begin to get cross or amused. It depends on their temperament.
There have been one or two celebrated moments, haven't there, of slightly cross politicians?
Yes, but very few. People make a lot of it. I had a famous encounter with the Chancellor the morning after the budget. But if you listen to the recording of it, you'll find the whole thing is conducted in the midst of a lot of laughter. I mean, it wasn't really an angry exchange at all. And when I listened to it afterwards, I have to say, if I were honest, that I thought I was teasing him a bit too much, which was probably why he got momentarily cross.
Momentarily cross? You spend, what, 2 or 3 days of your week down here, and the rest of the time?
I live just outside a town called Macclesfield in Cheshire, and I come down usually on a Monday evening, and I go home, all being well, round about tea time on Thursday. So I spend Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday in London, and the rest of the week at home.
And in London you have to get up at some quite extraordinary hour, don't you, for this programme?
I get up at 4:30 in the morning. Cab comes at 4:50, and I'm here in the BBC at 5:00. And that gives us an hour and a half to prepare the programme, and then we're on the air at 6:30.
So what sort of time do you go to bed when you're in London?
I go to bed usually at about 11, if I can. I try and fit in an hour's sleep in the afternoon, but I don't always manage that. But I don't find that difficult. I'm not a person who needs a vast amount of sleep, and in any case, I can sleep as long as I like the rest of the time.
Question number 11. Who is the man being interviewed?
Question number 12. According to the man, how many people listen to this program?
Question number 13. What does a radio presenter do in this program?
Question number 14. Which of the following statements is true about this program?
Question number 15. What is the start time of this program?
Questions 16 to 20 are based on the following talk.
As you can see, sales have risen gradually over the last 5 years. This growth is largely due to the record levels of sunshine we have enjoyed in recent years. This may be a result of global warming, and so it could continue, but climatic trends are difficult to predict. For this reason, we have made a fairly conservative projection for next year. Toiletry sales through supermarkets are rising rapidly, but this has not been the trend with our sun care products. In fact, of our sun care products, sales through supermarkets have fallen slightly. Sales through department stores have remained steady, and there's been a sharp increase in sales through chemists. We expect this trend to continue because consumers are becoming increasingly aware of the health issues involved in sunbathing. The number of people contracting skin cancer has doubled for the last 2 decades, and there's a growing demand for sun care products that offer greater protection. As you can see, we've been able to reduce this budget and still improve our turnover. Our experiment with TV shots 4 years ago did not lead to significantly higher sales. Since then, we have been steadily raising the proportion of spending devoted to press advertising. This enables us to target consumers with high incomes, who will be more likely to take holidays abroad. Demographic changes will probably have an adverse effect on the market in the future. The population is aging, and it's likely that this will have a negative influence. The 21 to 30 age group are traditionally heavy users of sun creams, and this group is very low among the 50-plus age groups, and these groups are expanding. Sun protection creams and lotions account for the largest part of our turnover, but after-sun preparations are becoming slightly more important, as this pie chart shows. The new green and cruelty-free brand that we launched last year is selling well, and this sector will definitely grow over the next few years to become a significant niche market.
Question number 16. What is the main reason for the rising sales of the company's products?
Question number 17. How is the sales situation of sun care products?
Question number 18. What was the consequence of the company's experiment with TV advertising 4 years ago?
Question number 19. Which age group are traditionally heavy users of sun creams?
Question number 20. Which products account for the largest part of the company's turnover? Section 4. Listening test. Part A. Note-taking and gap-filling. Directions. In this part of the test, you will hear a short talk. You will hear the talk only once. While listening to the talk, you may take notes on the important points so that you can have enough information to complete a gap-filling task on a separate answer booklet. You will not get your answer booklet until after you have listened to the talk. Now listen to the talk carefully. Do you think studying in a different country is something that sounds very exciting? Like many young people who leave home to study in another country, do you think you would have lots of desirable fun? Certainly it is a new experience which brings the opportunity of discovering fascinating things and a feeling of freedom. In spite of these advantages, however, there are also some challenges you will encounter. Because your views may clash with the different beliefs, norms, values, and traditions that exist in different countries, you may have difficulty adjusting to a new culture and to those parts of the culture not familiar to you. This is culture shock. Evidently, at least four essential stages to adjustment occur. The first stage is called the honeymoon. In this stage, you feel excited about living in a different place, and everything seems to be marvelous. You like everything, and everybody seems to be so nice to you. Also, the amusement of life in a new culture seems as though it will have no ending. Eventually, however, the second stage of culture shock appears. This is the hostility stage. You begin to notice that not everything is as good as you had originally thought it was. You become tired of many things about the new culture. Moreover, people don't treat you like a guest anymore. Everything that seemed to be so wonderful at first is now awful, and everything makes you feel distressed and tired. Usually at this point in your adjustment to a new culture, you devise some defense mechanisms to help you cope and to protect yourself against the effects of culture shock. One type of coping mechanism is called repression. This happens when you pretend that everything is acceptable and that nothing bothers you. Another type of defense mechanism is called regression. This occurs when you start to act as if you are younger than you actually are. You act like a child. You forget everything, and sometimes you become careless and irresponsible. The third kind of defense mechanism is called isolation. You would rather be home alone, and you don't want to communicate with anybody. With isolation, you try to avoid the effects of culture shock, or at least that's what you think. Isolation is one of the worst coping mechanisms you can use because it separates you from those things that could really help you. The last type of defense mechanism is called rejection. With this coping mechanism, you think you don't need anybody. You feel you are coping fine alone, so you don't try to ask for help. The defense mechanisms you utilize in the hostility stage are not helpful. If you only occasionally use one of these coping mechanisms to help yourself survive, that is acceptable. You must be cautious, however. These mechanisms can really hurt you because they prevent you from making necessary adjustments to the new culture. After you deal with your hostile feelings, recognition of the temporary nature of culture shock begins. Then you come to the third stage called recovery. In this stage, you start feeling more positive, and you try to develop comprehension of everything you don't understand. The whole situation starts to become more favorable. You recover from the symptoms of the first two stages, and you adjust yourself to the new norms, values, and even beliefs and traditions of the new country. You begin to see that even though the distinctions of the culture are different from your own, it has elements that you can learn to appreciate. The last stage of culture shock is called adjustment. In this stage, you have reached a point where you actually feel good because you have learned enough to understand the new culture. The things that initially made you feel uncomfortable or strange are now things that you understand. This acquisition of understanding alleviates much of the stress. Now you feel comfortable. You have adjusted to the new culture. Evidently, culture shock is something you cannot avoid when living in a foreign country. It does not seem like a very helpful experience when you are going through its four stages. However, when you have completely adjusted to a new culture, you can more fully enjoy it. You learn how to interact with other people, and you learn a lot about life in a culture that is not your own. Furthermore, learning about other cultures and how to adjust to the shock of living in them helps you learn more about yourself.